We'll open our Bible now to Luke chapter 12 today, a very long passage of Scripture. Really too long for one message, but I want to overview that text today. And the theme of the text today could be called this: right now is the time. I want you, please, to look at one verse at the beginning, and then I want to read several others. Look at verse 56. This is a key to understanding the text and the message. And when you see the south wind blow, I'll start at verse 55 through 56. When you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites. Now notice this statement from Jesus to his crowd of people. He said, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? That's the key to understanding this long text, this message from Jesus to the religious crowds that followed him at that day. Now, let's go back and start at verse 35. I want to read three verses, starting at verse 35. Jesus is preaching to those who are following him. He said, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. This message that we're going to look at today, folks, has to do with this time. Jesus is saying to the crowds, why can you not discern this time? Now, I want to start this way, by this explanation. Jesus' message in this text, I think today, is going to be quite surprising to most of us who've been reading the scriptures all of our lifetime. This long text is usually applied to God's care and his provision for his children. And that is taught in this text. And usually this text applies to the believer's readiness for the imminent return of our Savior Lord. But if you carefully study this scripture teaching, this passage from the life of our Lord, the real impact of Jesus' stirring words relates primarily to our eternal relationship with his Father. That's what he's speaking of. And our present eagerness to receive his Son into our lives right now and at this time. There's a promising application in this long scripture text that we're looking at today. The application is this, dear people, for every one of us in this room today. It's possible for human beings to become the sons of Jesus' Father. I can't emphasize how awesome that is. It's possible for every person on this planet to have a relationship with the Father, even as Jesus did, so that we can say in our hearts, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's possible for everyone in this room today and everyone on this planet to enter into a relationship with the Father of Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle explained that in the Gospel of John when he said, but as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now let me use this example. Usually about this time of the year, as the lawns get green, I know I'm going to have to mow my lawn. And usually when I get the lawnmower out of the storage room, it's not ready to go for some reason. So this week I'll find myself taking it apart. I'm not a mechanic, but I'll try to be one. And I'll be taking it apart, trying to figure out what makes it work, what makes it run. In the text that we're looking at today, friends, that's what Jesus is doing with this awesome idea that it's possible to have a relationship with his Father. even as Jesus has a relationship with his Father. And that's possible by being ready to receive him, by having a present eagerness to receive Jesus Christ into our life. And so what Jesus is showing us in this long text today is how to know his Father and how to receive God's Son whom he sent from heaven to be our own personal Savior and to be our life today. That's what he's showing us in this text. Now, there are three paramount things I want to highlight, and I'll tell you what they are right at the beginning. First of all, in verses 22 through 34, in that paragraph, he's talking to men about acknowledging the true saving God. Acknowledging his Father, knowing him, worshiping him, believing him. The second thing Jesus is talking about in this text is receiving God's Savior Son. What's involved? Receiving God's Savior Son now, right where we are. That's verses 35 to 48. And then in the last part of this text, he's talking about discerning our opportunity, our saving opportunity, right now at this time in our life. So that's the three things I want to talk about in the time that we have. First of all, acknowledging the true, caring God. Will you follow with me as I start at verse 22, as Jesus talks about that? Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, nor about the body, what you put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." He said this, "Consider the ravens." Now he's giving us instruction. "Consider the ravens, consider the birds. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies." They're starting to grow now, aren't they? "Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" He's talking about his Father. He's telling them, you can know him as your Father too. "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now in that passage, that wonderful passage, the thing that Jesus is telling the people in his audience, they didn't understand this at that point. They're involved in Old Testament religion, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Jesus is saying to those individuals, what you need for your life is to acknowledge the true caring Father, my Father who sent me to the world. Do you remember when Jesus prayed before his death on the cross? He had that long prayer of John 17. Do you remember that stunning, wonderful statement when he said to the Father, he said, "Father, this is eternal life, to know you, the true God, and your Son whom you sent from heaven." Folks, these Jewish disciples following Christ at this time did not have an idea about what that means, to know the God, to literally know him. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us why people don't know God. He said they have suppressed the truth. That which may be known of God has been revealed to men. Actually, it's been put within the conscience of man. It's been displayed through creation, but man has suppressed that. At that time, to understand our text, we need to realize that Jesus is talking to Old Testament seekers. They're seeking after Jesus. They're seeking to know God's truth. They want to know the Word of God. But at that time, and this is an amazing key to understanding this scripture, at that time, the Jewish people in the audience of Jesus did not have a concept of the New Covenant gospel. They did not know the truth that we delight in, that God sent His Son to die for our sins. He was buried and rose again. They did not know that at that time. They did not understand what it means to have a new covenant relationship with the Father, that you can know God as your own heavenly Father. They had no concept of that. And His appeal to them right now is concerning their heart attitude toward His Father God, who has sent His Son to this world, who has revealed Himself to mankind. What Jesus is saying in the wonderful words that we've read about the birds and the lilies, what He's saying to those people is, He's saying, men and women, let me talk to you about my Father. Let me tell you what my Father is like. He takes care of the sparrows, not one sparrow. Think of this, not one sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. He knows about every sparrow, every bird, every lily. And the question is this. When I listen to Jesus talk about His Father, what do I believe about my Creator God? The bottom line, folks, and I know most of us can answer this affirmatively today, do I know Jesus' Father as my Father? He's describing the Father who sent Him. Jesus passionately preached to these Jewish followers about the love and the care and the goodness of His Father, because Jesus was driven in His heart by the Father's love that had sent Him to the world. And the heart of the Son of God was longing for every man, every person in that audience, but also here today, to have that same personal relationship with His merciful, caring, generous Father. He's saying, I want you to know what it means to call Him Abba Father, to have His Spirit bear witness within your spirit that God is your Father. And so He taught them the first principle about that. He talked about their faith. Jesus knew that unless these sinners, these Jewish people who were following Him, became believers, think of this, He knew that Satan was their father. In another place, in John chapter 8, He'll say to the crowd of people, you are of your father the devil. And He's saying, unless you know what it means to trust in His Son and understand the gospel, then you won't understand what it means for God to be your Father. Let me just slow down for a moment right now, dear friend. Do you know what it means to have God to be your Abba Father, my Daddy Father, to be able to call upon Him as your Father? Do you realize, and we love these passages where Jesus is saying God takes care of the birds and He feeds the birds. We love that. But we can't trust Him to do that unless, first of all, we've trusted His Son, Jesus, to be our personal Savior. Before any man can trust God to be his heavenly Father and trust Him for food and clothing, as Jesus is speaking of here, first of all, that man must know that God's Son died for his sins on the cross. And as we worship the Lord this morning in this beautiful place on this beautiful day, has that really become a reality for you? Is that the most important truth you know in your heart, that God sent Jesus to die for my sins on the cross? He was buried and rose again. And I hold on to that truth as my personal faith, my eternal salvation. You see, many of these people to whom Jesus is talking didn't know that relationship. So when they heard Jesus talking about God caring for the sparrows or taking care of the lilies, they didn't have that relationship with the Father. First of all, a man must hear the good news that Christ is his personal Savior. And so Jesus promises God's grace and His goodness and His Father's generosity to them if they will believe His Father. And Jesus is saying, it's a matter of your heart. Where is your heart? Wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Where is your heart? And I always think when we come to scriptures, dear people, we need to relate this to our own personal relationship with God. What about my heart? When I stand here today to preach God's word, for me, the big issue is, what about my heart? The Bible promises, and we've talked about this so much over the years in our church, the Bible promises that when a man turns to Christ in contrite faith, God gives him a new heart. Where is your treasure? That's the point. Is my heart turned to Jesus Christ? Is God's Son, Jesus Christ, preeminent, first in my life? Do I trust Him above everything else? That's what Christ is saying. He's saying, before you can know the Father and His care for you as He cares for the birds, you need to know that you've become saved. You've received Christ. The second thing He talks about in our text is awareness, personal awareness concerning Christ's coming to us. Christ, and he pictures Christ coming to us right now where we are. Let's start at verse 35 and read that paragraph also. 35 down through verse 48. Just follow along, because the Lord explains what he means by this so clearly. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately." Now he's talking about awareness and receptivity for him. "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready." Now, this is a key thing the Lord Jesus is saying to those individuals. You need to have an attitude of being ready for the Son of Man. He is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Then Peter said, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to the people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him with his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Now all of this paragraph, this amazing example or illustration that Jesus gives is dealing with this issue, awareness, personal awareness concerning Christ coming and offering himself to me right where I am. Now there's a strategic insight that I want to explain, folks, concerning a correct understanding or interpretation of these words. Now think of this. The people to whom Jesus spoke these words had no concept of what we call the rapture. That truth that Jesus Christ is coming back to take believers out of this world at any moment could happen today. That truth had not been revealed. He's not talking to them about the rapture, that Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and we'll be caught up to meet him. That's not what he's talking about here. They don't know about that. And they don't know the book of Revelation promise that Jesus, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, 7 years after the rapture, is coming back to this planet, to the city of Jerusalem. They didn't have a grasp of that truth either. So Jesus is not talking to them when he talks about being ready for his coming. He's not referring to being ready for his second coming, though we can apply it. It has an application, but that's not the primary thing Jesus is talking about. Jesus is speaking these statements relative to his first coming. His first coming, which was 2,000 years ago, when he came to those people. I don't know, I'm sure you probably don't remember that when we were in the book of Luke chapter 10, in this series of studies that we're looking at now, Jesus sent out his messengers to the various villages and towns at that time to announce that Messiah Christ is here. His disciples went two by two to different towns, and they announced Messiah is coming. And Jesus said to them, you go and tell that in the villages and towns, and then I'm going to follow, and I'll come to those towns and see those people. This is what Jesus is talking about. Being ready for Christ when he came to the world the first time. But how did they respond? John 1:11 says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. I just want to say this morning. I'm really concerned as a preacher of the word not to misinterpret the scripture and make it fit into my own paradigm of things. I want to be accurate in teaching the word of God as it is, has been given to us. But I must honestly say to you folks, this scripture, which we have read over and over and we've preached about over and over, relative to the second coming of Christ, which is imminent, is not dealing with the second coming of Christ. Jesus is talking to this vast crowd of followers, including his disciples, about his first coming. And he's saying, I want you to know you will be blessed by God if you're receptive to him at this time when he has come to his people. And here's what it's offering. And this is so amazing and wonderful. What Jesus essentially is offering is this. My Father God is offering his Son, the Savior, to you right now, right where you are. And friends, this is a tremendous truth of the scripture, that since the Garden of Eden, since the sin of Adam, God has been calling lost sinners and urging them to be ready for his Savior Son. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, God predicted that he was going to send his Son to be the Savior of the world. And he's urging them to be ready when his Son comes. And the emphasis that Jesus is making in this amazing text that we've just read is that the key issue is a man's heart attitude. Does he have a sense of anticipation? Does he have a sense of eagerness, a sense of desire for God's Son to come into his life? I think one of the best pictures of it all is given by Jesus himself in Revelation 3:20. You know that verse. Many of you know that by memory. Where Jesus said it this way, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him. When someone comes to our door or rings the doorbell and knocks, I'm sure someone's there, because my two dogs just go wild and about tear the house down. But Jesus is making that kind of picture for every one of us who's here today. He's saying, I want you to be ready. I want you to be eager. I don't want you to be like the servant who said, my Lord has delayed his coming. I want you to have an attitude of continual readiness to receive me. So you hear me knocking at the door of your life, and you open the door and you eagerly invite me to come into your life. And what the Lord is showing us in this text is, until a lost, guilty sinner responds to this invitation, the result will be God's wrath forever. The words of verse 41 down through verse 48 are terrifying words. If he comes to a man and that man does not have this attitude of readiness and eagerness for the Son of God, he'll be cast out, he'll be cut asunder, he'll be rejected where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not trying to be severe or dramatic when I present these things, but Jesus was saying it with these terms. And it makes every one of us today stop and listen. Do I have this attitude? Was there a time in my life when this attitude really struck me, that Jesus Christ wanted to come into my life? And I was ready. I opened the door. And Christ is living in my life today. What a tremendous thing he's talking about. He's talking about receptivity. Receptivity to the Son of God when he comes to us. He's talking about a present opportunity. So here's what we see in these verses. We read them carefully and again and again for the knowledge that God wants us to have. He's talking about a man who acknowledges the true caring Father who sent Jesus to be our Savior. He's talking about a man who's receiving. His attitude, his heart attitude, is a receiving attitude toward God's Savior Son. Right now. Eager for His second coming also, but right now our attitude toward His Son is to receive Jesus, to have Him in our life. And then he's talking about discernment of our opportunity right now at this time. And I want you to look at how he explained that beginning at verse 49. An attitude of discernment concerning the opportunity, the saving opportunity God gives to us. Verse 49, he said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. How distressed I am till it's accomplished. Do you suppose, listen to what he said to the crowd, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided against three. Be divided three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter-in-law against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, listen to this carefully, what the Lord's, listen to the appeal of his heart to the crowds. Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites. This is how he identifies their religion, playing a game. Hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it you do not discern this time? This time. That time he gave to them right then. Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? Here's the application. Here's the challenge. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you've paid the last mite. Now, these stunning statements of our Lord Jesus, recorded in this paragraph by the Holy Spirit, clearly refer to this time, right now. It's not referring to the future. And his concern expressed in these passionate words was relative to their discernment, their understanding, their awareness of the opportunity that God was giving to them at that very time. The Father had sent Jesus from heaven to be their Savior. He's concerned about their discernment of that opportunity. I want to tell you, folks, I'm really impressed with what the Lord said at the beginning of this paragraph when he said, I came to send fire on the earth. Do you think of Jesus coming as that? He came to set the world on fire. He said, I came to experience a baptism, referring to his baptism, his immersion into death and crucifixion. And though Jesus was giving them a definite opportunity now, right now, at this time, to receive him as their Messiah, he knew that he was going to soon experience a baptism, the baptism of the cross, the suffering and death of the cross for the sins of humanity. And the fire that Jesus predicted that he would cause on the earth, I want us to be reminded this morning, friends, is really increasing all over the world. The fire, the hostility, the persecution against the name of Jesus, against God's Son and His people. And I'm also impressed when I hear the Lord Jesus speaking so intensely to those people, the multitudes in that people at that time, when he said, how distressed I am. He's a preacher who's speaking with a distressed heart. How distressed I am until it's accomplished. That is, until I die, until I experience the baptism of the cross. Jesus lived and he's preached as a man on a mission from heaven. And now he gave them the opportunity to discern the time. Let's just slow down a minute, folks. Let's make that personal. Has a time come in my life? Has a time come in your life when you discerned the opportunity that God is giving to you to use the words of Jesus to settle with him? Has that time happened in my life when I realize that the adversary was drawing me to the court and I would be guilty? Have I discerned the time, and has my account been settled with Jesus Christ? Please listen to these words about what it means to have the account settled. Listen to this statement from the Lord Himself. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus is saying, unless you settle your account with God now, that's your future. Listen to this statement from the book of Revelation. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. The Lord Jesus knew about that for the multitudes. And so he stands before the crowd and he appeals with them. He appeals to them, settle your account. He's talking to lost people, religious people, people who did not yet understand the gospel. And he's saying, now is the opportunity to settle your account with God. I'm so thankful this morning to know that that's been settled. I've settled the account. Not because I'm worthy, I'm guilty. But I've met God on His terms. His terms are just simply to come to Jesus Christ, to receive Him. That's what He's talking about. You know, it was a beautiful spring morning when I first typed out the notes, struggling with this text, actually, for the message. And our lake, North Turtle Lake, at that time, on that day, was still frozen from shore to shore. Kind of amazing, this time of the year. It's open now. But it was a day of bright sunshine. It was predicted to be 70 degrees that day, the first time this year it was going to be 70 degrees. The loons, I could hear the loons calling for one another. Somehow they'd found a place of open water. But I could hear the loons, and I could hear the geese flying over, honking and searching for a place to land. My dogs were laying in my study beside me, just relaxing. And I thought to myself, in light of these words, how can I be sure? How can I be sure of the forgiveness of my lifetime of sin? How can I be sure of eternal life, that I'll live forever in the Father's house with Jesus Christ? How can I be sure that I'm ready for that imminent event, the rapture of the church? Do I rely on feelings, my feelings, or do I rely on the facts? And the Holy Spirit reminds me of the words of Jesus, John 6:37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will nowise cast out. And the bottom line, every day when I wonder about assurance and wonder whether the account is settled, I have to come back to the promises of Christ himself. And Jesus Christ himself, who spoke these awesome, stunning, staggering words that we looked at today, is saying, you come to me. If you're ready, if you have an attitude of readiness to receive me, then I'll come through. I'm knocking at the door. I'll come into your life. I'll be your Savior forever. And I just want to say this morning, folks. Receiving Christ is an initial choice. It's the beginning. It's called new birth. It's called conversion. But receiving Christ then is a day-by-day experience. Wonderful experience of receiving this person, Jesus Christ, for all that I need and all that he is. An attitude of readiness for him. Now here's what we've looked at, and I've not intended to go verse by verse and explain all of the verses, but just the major idea that Jesus was preaching that day. He's saying, right now is the time you need to know my Father, my Abba Father, the true caring God. You need to come into a relationship with him where he becomes your Father also, and that's by receiving Christ. And he's saying, secondly, you need to receive me, God's Savior Son. You need to receive me into your life. Right now, where you are is the opportunity. And you need to discern the fact that you have this one lifetime opportunity to settle the account between you and God, so that you'll not be drawn before the magistrate and cast into the place of eternal punishment. I hope all of us this morning might clearly settle this issue in our own heart and mind and know for sure that this is nailed down, okay? Thank you so much for listening and for being here and for your interest in God's Word. Let's bow and have a prayer right now. Father, we've looked at a scripture today that is far beyond a man's ability to explain. We would just trust, Father, and pray that your Holy Spirit would cause the truth that Jesus was telling that day to have a significant meaning in the life of every one of us who is here. I want to say today, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, dear Father, that if I was the only man who ever lived on this planet, the only sinner, that Christ would have come for me to die for me. Thank you, Father, for him. We love you, Father. We love Jesus, your Son. We love the Holy Spirit. We love the book that you've given to us. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.